Our text for this morning's message from God's Word, the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark chapter 4, verse 1 through verse 20. Let's once again look to God in prayer before I read and expound upon this portion of His holy word. Father, the entrance of your words gives light. The scriptures are our meat and our drink. Father, this is your testimony to us. And we ask once again that the blessed Holy Spirit, who carried along men of old, that what they wrote was the very word of God, that he would come and open our hearts and minds, even as Jesus opened the hearts and minds of those disciples on the road to Emmaus, that we might behold wondrous things out of your law, Father, that we might grow and be edified as we hear the word of God. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. And again, he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I want to start my message by speaking directly to you young people. In our church, that's not very many of you, so I'm not going to mention you by name. But I want to ask you if you've ever heard of Johnny Appleseed. I ask that of the young as well as the young at heart. Have you ever heard of Johnny Appleseed? I remember hearing about him when I was in school. His name was Chapman, John Chapman. And he was an American pioneer and nurseryman, that is dealing with plants, who planted over 100,000 square miles of apple orchards in western Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Indiana. And some of those orchards are well documented and still exist. And so what I want you young people to do is listen to this message and listen specifically for something in the sermon, in the message, that makes you think about this man, Johnny Appleseed. So that's your assignment for today's message. First of all, let's ask and answer the question, what are parables? I used that big word similitude in the title of today's message. It just means something that is similar, a likeness. Example, riding in a packed bus or train is like being in a sardine can. That's a likeness, a simile. It's so cold, I feel like an icicle. And so when Jesus teaches in this and other parables, the things and people in the parable stand for, represent other things and people. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, according to Matthew, and without a parable, he did not speak to them. And then Matthew says that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet. And he's referring to the 78th Psalm. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. So Jesus is once again fulfilling Scripture as he teaches using this method of likenesses, of parables. And if you want to look for other examples of parables in the Old Testament, you see in your outline there, I've mentioned Ezekiel chapter 17, where God, speaking to the prophet Ezekiel, tells him to expound a parable about two great eagles that stand for two kingdoms. And you can see other Old Testament parables in Ezekiel 24, Judges 9, and other places. So the Lord Jesus is following once again an Old Testament method of teaching. Why? Why did he choose this method of teaching? Well, verses 10 and 12 tell us, don't they? It says, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may not see, they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. So Jesus' teaching was light for his chosen ones. For others, it kept them in the dark. It was a judgment of hardening coming upon them. Let me give you an illustration of this. Let's say you have a very hot oven, such as is used to harden ceramic vessels when they are made by the potter. Now, let's say you take two objects and put them into that hot, piping hot oven. One is a ceramic dish that you want to become hard so that you can use it. The other is a wax candle. Well, it's the same flame, it's the same fire, but it has two vastly different effects on those two objects. The ceramic is hardened. The wax melts. The Word of God comes to our hearts, and it either hardens us as we disregard it, or it melts our hearts and makes them tender before God. John 3, verses 20 and 21 put it this way, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." So if you are hearing this Bible message and are not sure about where you stand with God, you should take heart, because you are among those hearing Jesus' explanation of the parable. So let's summarize what's going on here. It's called the parable of the sower. A sower is someone like Johnny Appleseed. He has a bag of seeds, and he walks along in a field, and he casts or throws the seed all over, hoping that in due time there'll be a harvest to be reaped. Jesus refers to himself as a sower in another parable, and disciples are sowers with him. So if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you should think of yourself as someone like Johnny Appleseed. But what a mighty seed you are sowing that yields a far better crop than the best apples. And we'll say more about that seed and its fruit in a moment. But for now, let's look at the four kinds of soil that the seed lands on, as we see in verses 3 to 6. The first type of soil is that which is by the wayside. Now, let me illustrate again what's going on here. Perhaps, especially in these winter months, knowing that the little birds out there are hungry, you've taken bread crumbs and thrown them out for the birds so that they can find something on the hard ground. Well, this wayside soil is packed down, and the seed doesn't go into it at all. It just lies there in plain sight of hungry birds who come along and snap it up. Sorry, you bird lovers, but in Jesus' parable, the birds stand for, remember we said in the parable, everything stands for something. The birds stand for the devil. And the wayside type of soil stands for hearts on whom the word of the gospel lands, but the devil snatches it away. He might do this by persuading the hearer that these words are just foolish or they're false. The result, it has no effect on them. They go their merry way. The second kind of soil is the stony soil. Let me illustrate what happens to the seed that grows here with a very common object that we'll be seeing as the spring comes around, and that is a toadstool. One day you go into your yard and you see this big round thing on a short stem that wasn't there yesterday. It sprang up suddenly. Suddenly it was there. In the parable, those who at first seem to grow But like a toadstool that you can easily kick down because it's so fragile, it's really not even a plant, it's a fungus, they get knocked down by two things, and two things that Jesus promised, the Word of God promises would come to his followers. Tribulation, many kinds. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Sicknesses, afflictions of various kinds, they are promised to the Christian. And secondly, persecution. Those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. A servant is not greater than his master. If you would be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you will face these things. And then there's the thorny soil. In this soil, something grows along with the plant, the grain, or whatever the sower was sowing and wanted to bring to harvest. And it interferes. Illustration, very easy one. Dandelions and crabgrass. The more they grow, the more scraggly and ugly your lawn gets. That's what the parable is depicting for us here. So the birds didn't get the seed this time. And this was not rocky, but able to support the crop. In fact, it started off well in its growth. But then over time, it got starved out and choked off, just the way dandelions and crabgrass do to a nice lawn. And this soil stands for those who seem to make a good start in the Christian life. They look like they're starting to grow, but according to verse 19 of our text, three things choke them off. One, the cares of this world. Two, the deceitfulness of riches. And three, the desires for other things. These things enter in. They choke the Word of God and the power that it would have to transform the life. And in the end, there's no fruit. Which brings us to the last and best type of soil. And by now, hopefully, we are already beginning to ask ourselves, each of us, about his or her own heart. What kind of soil is my heart like? What kind of soil is your heart like? Have you heard the word of the gospel many times and it didn't affect you? It just went in one ear and out the other. Are you someone who thought Jesus' call was to always be happy and prosperous? And when you found out that it involved hardships, involved being called crazy and weird, as we saw just last week happen to our Lord, you abandoned being a disciple? Are you one of those who got distracted because you just had too much other stuff going on? You decided, well, I'm just not into Jesus anymore. Or did you become like one of those old cartoon characters who you see the dollar signs flash up in their eyes? You became avaricious, desiring nothing more than money, greedy for gain. Wanting nothing more than to become rich? Or did your desire for something else, it could be any number of things, become more important to you than being a disciple of Jesus? Or are you that rich, moist, fertile soil with no rocks where the seed found a perfect place to grow? And what a mighty seed it is. In our parable, the seed is the gospel of the kingdom, the power of God unto salvation. It is the word of the kingdom, the message that Jesus Christ came to save the world by dying in the place of an innumerable multitude of sinners, establishing that everlasting kingdom. Here's how Peter and James speak about this mighty seed. Peter says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. That new birth, without which one cannot even see the kingdom, that radical change that comes by the sovereign grace of God when the gospel of the kingdom calls one out of darkness into life, raises them from spiritual death, gives them the gifts of repentance and faith. What a mighty seed. James says this about the seed, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Once implanted, once it has taken root in that good soil, it begins to grow and bear fruit. It continues to work, bringing the soul to the time of harvest. A tiny mustard seed, as we've seen our Lord explain elsewhere, has the power to bring forth a bush large enough for birds' nests, just like an acorn can grow to a great oak. The word of the gospel is mightier. It raises the dead. It creates disciples. It transforms the world. What a great harvest. What a mighty seed Jesus was sowing and what he has entrusted us to sow with him. And what is the fruit? What is the fruit that comes as this seed is sown in the world? It's a better fruit than that of Eden, where there were all kinds of trees bearing fruit. It includes that new quality of life described in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Apostle Peter goes so far as to say that the fruit will be that the people of God are conformed to Jesus. They are made partakers of the divine nature. It is the fruit of a world transformed and healed, as we see spoken of prophetically in the book of Revelation. Right near the end of that final book of the Bible, we read that in the middle of its street, that is of the New Jerusalem, in the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And it is a fruit that goes on reproducing itself. Jesus, the first sower, his disciples sowing after him and asking him to send many laborers into the harvest that is sure to come, that a great multitude of souls be gathered in, a mighty kingdom raised up to the glory of God. James says, a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And so the seed sown in good soil, our Lord says, does yield fruit 30, 60, or even 100-fold. In other words, some bear more fruit than others, but all are extremely profitable. If I'm afraid to think of myself as a 100 or even a 60-fold bearer of fruit, there's still cause to rejoice, because a harvest 30 times greater than what was sown is still wonderfully profitable for the glory of God. In conclusion, I'll give you the comfort that comes in the 126th Psalm. As you sow with Jesus, patiently following him, spreading the seed of his gospel, experiencing trials and tribulations while doing so, rejoice, because this is God's word of promise to you. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let us pray. Father, how we thank you for that mighty seed, the gospel of the kingdom, the power of God unto salvation. As believers, we rejoice to know that the great sower, the Spirit of Jesus, sowed that word in our hearts, and it has borne fruit. We thank you for the call to follow him and be sowers with him, and that we can bring forth 30, 60, 100-fold fruit for your glory and honor. Father, thank you that you included us among those who could hear the explanation of this parable that was dark and obscure to those who are perishing. But you have given us understanding into the mysteries of your kingdom. O Lord, may it indeed find good soil in our hearts, take root downward, and bear fruit upwards. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.